having the authority from heaven to act on heaven's behalf. And earlier this week, I heard this phrase. And this phrase was the authority of an encounter with God. And there are times where God moves on a body, on an individual, and he gives them a divine encounter of his presence. And I believe God wants to touch someone today. Amen?
Amen?
God wants to touch all of us today.
Yes.
He wants to show his presence in a great and powerful way today. So I want you to open your hearts. I want you to stay engaged with the Holy Spirit. I want you to be ready to move when the Holy Spirit says move. Amen?
Amen.
Or if the Holy Spirit says receive, just receive. Or whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. I know that God wants to touch someone today.
Yes.
I know that his presence and his glory wants to manifest in this place today. Amen?
Amen.
See, people often underestimate the value of an encounter with God or a meeting with God. You know, but when you have an encounter with God, you can't help but be changed. See, when you know, an encounter with God is not just going to bring out your emotions. It's going to radically change your life. It'll change the course of a destiny. It can change the direction. It can change the family. It can change a person. But when we have an encounter with God, I so long for an encounter with God. You know, I don't want to just come together and say words, but I want God to move by his Holy Spirit. So many people, they underestimate the value of an encounter with God. An encounter with God is when his presence and glory are manifested where you are. Amen? How many know that God is a real God? And God came down from heaven. He became a man. He walked this earth. And so God, you might say that God's glory invaded earth. And wherever Jesus was, things happened. Now, there were some who encountered Jesus and they rejected him. But there were others who encountered Jesus and they accepted what he wanted to do. They surrendered their lives and change was brought forth. Amen? This could very well be the moment or the day that changes the course, that causes a breakthrough in your life, that manifests God's presence in such a way. Amen? It is when the eternal is brought now into the now and the invisible is made visible. It's when the eternal is brought into the now and that which is invisible is made visible. Amen? We can have an encounter with God every day. But yet there are those special times when God wants to meet with his people to bless them, to touch them, and to help them proclaim his message to the masses. Amen? Only those who recognize, appreciate, and understand that Jesus is Lord of all, and he is the ultimate authority of their life will benefit from an encounter, a move, or a divine manifestation of God. How many know that even though God wants to do something, he doesn't force his way on anybody? God gives you an offer that you shouldn't refuse.
Amen?
Amen? He gives you an invitation. He gives you, let me do this. I want to do this in your life. I want this, you know, and I believe that today God designated this day as a special encounter for each one of us.
Yes.
We're going to experience God's presence. You cannot meet Jesus and stay the same. And I guarantee that every person who saw an angel in the Bible, they dropped to the floor like dead men. So if you've seen an angel and you haven't dropped to the floor, you might not have seen an angel. I don't know. But when an angel appeared and manifested in the present, they stood in awe of that person. Some angels are 9 feet tall in the glory of God. And when the glory of God comes, you don't know how you're going to react. It's an awe-inspiring thing. Go with me to the Bible of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Luke 24. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about some encounters today. And I believe that when we talk about encounters, God didn't put this on my heart for no reason. I believe he wants to have an encounter today. Amen? Amen. Who wants to encounter God today? Amen. Amen? Everyone that said amen, that means you're willing to change when God shows up. Amen. That means that you will not be the same. You came in here one way, but you're going to leave a different way. Amen? Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. Jesus was talking with the two people on the road to Emmaus. And in verse 49, he said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father," where? "Upon you." How many know that there are times when God wants to get on you? Yeah. Not to beat you down, but to build you up. Amen? But to encourage you for greater things in God, to call you to a deeper level. You know, the Bible says deep calls unto deep. He said, "I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." How many know that sometimes there is a designated time where God wants to appoint his power on you? That word "to be endued with power" means to be clothed with power. Think about that. God wants to clothe every individual with power. Power to witness, power to live, power to serve, power to carry out what he's called you to do, power to be like Christ. God wants to clothe you with power. But notice, he wanted to send it, and I'm still getting some reverb back here, if you can maybe make some adjustments with that. You know, God wanted to send it, but they had to follow this instruction. How many know that oftentimes when God moves, it's always associated with an instruction? What did he say to the lame man who was dropped from the roof? He said, "Your sins are forgiven." Then he said, "Pick up your mat and walk." He gave him an instruction. Now, if the man wanted to walk, he had to follow the instruction. What did he have to do? He had to believe that he could pick up his mat and walk. The man who had the withered hand, when he encountered Jesus, Jesus said to him, "Stretch forth your hand." But this man's hand had been withered for I don't know how long. But he believed in who said it. He believed in what he said. And he encountered God. He stretched forth his hand. And lo and behold, that hand was made whole. So if you want to tap into the power of God today, if you want to be clothed, you've got to follow the instruction. Amen? If you don't follow the instruction, you don't get the blessing. And God wanted his ministers, his people, to be clothed with power. Verse 50, "And he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." Can you imagine these two guys ever having this conversation with Jesus? They didn't know it was Jesus at first, but as he could talk to them, he revealed himself to them. See, at first, they thought they were talking to a stranger. They didn't know that it was Jesus until he showed up in the now, until he pulled back the veil and he manifested himself, and they knew who he was. Then they got to see him board flight 777 all the way to heaven. You ever see anybody carried into heaven without a plane or a rocket ship? That right before your eyes, he just goes and all of a sudden he goes so far you can't see because he goes past the clouds? How would that impact your life? Would that make you want to show up to receive that promise? Huh? Is that enough evidence for you to be where God says be, to do what God says do in that moment? See, when we have an encounter with God, God's authority comes into our life. And when you have an encounter with God, you surrender all. Because an encounter with God will change your life. I can look back in my own life. And I remember when I preached a message in Knoxville, Tennessee. And at the end of the message, the pastor, he said, I'd like to speak a word over you. And he stood in front of me and he prophesied about my future. And I remember another time when I was in the Czech Republic. And we were there on a missions trip. And we got connected with an evangelist from Sweden. Imagine that, a group of college students from Lee University go to the Czech Republic and God hooks them up with an evangelist from Sweden. His first name was Peter, can't pronounce his second name. And we had a little Bible study with him in this apartment that we were ministering in. We were ministering in this apartment complex. And as he began to share the word, all of a sudden, I felt the power of God come on me. And for 45 minutes, I shook. And my breath was heavy because I just felt this awesome power on me. All my body could do was shake in God's presence. I can remember a time of sitting in a church in Cleveland, Tennessee, where Pastor Mark Strickland was preaching, and he preached this message. Don't know what the message was, but at the end, he went like this. And he says, you shall increase. The anointing upon your life shall increase. He said, I'm not knocking you. He said, just keep doing what you're doing. I remember that. That occurred in the 90s, and it's still vivid in my imagination. Why? Because I knew when he pointed, he was right at me. That was a divine encounter with God. I remember when I was at Rhema Bible Training Center. I was a first-year student. And when you go into your second year, you've got to pick which group you want to go into. Your second year, they specialize more into different areas of ministry. And I can remember when Ray McCauley, who at that time was pastor of Rhema South Africa, he was preaching in Rhema Bible Church. And he was preaching about obeying God. And I had a vision of the word evangelist with literally a flame of fire around it. And guess what? My obvious deduction was, okay, God, you want me to go into the evangelist group, which I did. But that was a divine encounter that I had with God. And I'm sure some of you can testify of the times when God came out of the unseen and into the seen and into your life, and you can testify that you had an encounter with God and you remember that encounter and it forever changed your life. I remember another encounter. There was a professor at Lee. His name was Larry Cochran. He was a biology teacher. Very dry, very monotone. If you took his class, you might fall asleep in his class. But at that time, he went to the Toronto Christian Fellowship was having a move, and he went up there and he came back, and there was like fire in his eyes. So at that time, I was president of a spiritual life club, and we had services every Thursday night on campus. And I'm telling you what, God rocked the place. We saw God move in incredible ways. And while Larry was teaching, and he began to pray for people, there were people in that service that couldn't even speak in English. There was about five or six of them that all they could do was speak in tongues. It went past curfew. The people who were monitoring the curfew said, "What's happening?" Everybody was laid out on the floor. Pastor Fiona spent 2 hours laying on the floor in a business suit. I guarantee you, though, that forever changed her life. See, God wants to have an encounter today. Today is unlike any other day. God wants to meet with the people of Victory Christian Fellowship. You're not here by coincidence. You are here by design. God had you here because he wants to do something in your life. Question is, will you let him? Will you let God have his way? Now, in order for God to have his way, what do you need to do? Give up your way. Amen? Go with me to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. I believe God's going to move today. You believe that? Amen. Are you ready for it? Amen. Now, when God moves, you might come unglued. Amen? You might end up rolling on the floor. Well, I don't know if I could roll on the floor. Listen, if God's on you, it doesn't matter. You know, there was a time when I heard Brother Hagin at camp meeting. I was in the service, and he would walk by a row. He would just wave his hands, and the whole row fell down like dominoes. Didn't even touch a person. But man, when the Holy Ghost would start to move, Brother Hagin would go, choo, 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 and then he'd go, woo, and he might do a little thing like this. And you know, when he did that, the Holy Ghost hit the place. There were times when the bass player would drop his guitar and take off running. How many know when God moves, you got to move with him? Listen, when the current of God's Spirit is flowing, you don't want to swim upstream. You want to go with the current. You want to go with however the Spirit is moving. Amen? He may want you to dance, but some people need to dance because they're bound. And dancing helps free you up. Amen? Some people are depressed. And God needs to give them joy unspeakable, where it just shoots out of your belly. Joy. Whenever there's a move of God, positive results will occur. John 7. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at verse 37. In the last day... Well, how come God didn't do it on the first day? Because he wants to do it to the people who stick around. Sometimes things occur at last for a reason. Notice on the last day, the great day of the feast. They were having a feast. This was the end. Things were coming to a culmination. Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him what? Let him come unto me." Listen, if you're dry and thirsty, you need to come to Jesus. Notice, I want you to notice, Jesus gave an invitation. If any man, it is an open invitation to anyone who will respond. Your response is you come to Jesus. And your response when you come to Jesus is, "Here I am, Lord. Whatever you want to do, I'm yours." In other words, you don't want to put God in a box because there's no box that can fit God. Well, when I go up there, I want this to happen. You're not God. Just let God do it. Listen, God knows what's best for you. And we're all different. How the Holy Spirit affects you is different than how it affects me. Some people cry, some people laugh, some people shout, some people are just still. That's okay. Amen? There's no right or wrong response. The question is just respond. Just come to Jesus. Lay down your life, lay down your plans, and come to Jesus. When people are lost, they need to be found. They need to come to Jesus. Let him come unto me and what? Drink. Now, when there was a time in my life when I was sinning, I had gotten born again at a young age, 12. But between the ages of 16 and 18, I backslid. That's why I'm so glad that we have someone who's passionate for young people. You know, the devil does a lot to try to mess up young people. And when I was sinning, I would party with friends and go drinking. Now, one drink for me would not make me drunk. I'd have to have two or three or four. Amen? One sip from God's goodness may not get you full. You might have to take more than one sip to get full. He said, come and drink. You drink until you're full. You come to Jesus and you drink until you... How do you drink? You use your tongue. Your praise, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in your spiritual language, that's how you drink. And as you drink, you're taking it in, and God is doing something on the inside. Notice Jesus said this. If any man thirst... Are there anybody who's thirsty today? Then it is your responsibility then to come to him and drink. Listen, I said this phrase earlier this week in the kitchen. You got to stay by the spout where the glory comes out. How many know that I can't fill my cup from the faucet from here? I've got to go where the faucet is running out of and put my cup under it so that it can get full. If my cup doesn't get under that faucet, the faucet can be running, but it's not going to be full. So many people, when God's faucet is running, they're trying to get a drink from way over there. Now, does that mean that God only works up here? No. Let me tell you something. God can work in every place, every part of this building, every part of this property. God is not limited to space. He is omnipresent. Notice he goes on to say, verse 38. He that believes on me. If you want to have an encounter with God, you got to believe. And if you believe, you've got to act. Who do you believe on? Jesus. You believe on his word. You believe on God. You don't believe in opinions. You don't believe in feelings. Yes, you have feelings, but you don't put your faith in feelings. Why? Because they change quickly. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, your belief always has to be based in the word. Out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Why did he say rivers? Does still water generate power? Moving water generates power. You never build a hydroelectric dam in a place where the water doesn't move. That's why there's no hydroelectric dam in the Dead Sea. Because the Dead Sea is dead because there's no movement of water. Jesus said, out of your belly, out of your innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. Whenever there's an encounter with God, he's always going to produce life. God never produces death. He's not the God of death. He's the God of life. Satan instituted death. And he's been defeated. Amen? So you got to be prepared that out of your belly, something's going to flow. And you just have to go with the flow. You just have to let it flow. You know, recently we had 4th of July. Some of you might have had some fireworks. You ever see a Roman candle? You light the wick. It's a stick, right? You light that wick, and out of that stick shoots these colorful fireballs. It goes poof, poof, poof. Well, sometimes that's how the Spirit of God works. Amen? Sometimes it's like the old-time bikes that you had to kickstart. You know, you might kick it once and it might go, run, but it's not running. You might have to kick it again, run, but it's not running. But when you kick it a third time, that thing kicks in, right? Sometimes there's a point in time when you have an encounter with God that the Holy Ghost kicks in. You got to be prepared that out of your belly, say, out of my belly, shall flow rivers of living water. Because didn't you know you're a tree planted by the rivers of living water? Oh my goodness, God wants you to plant there. Verse 39. But this spoke he of who? He was talking of something that was to come that hadn't happened yet. He spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive. Every believer should receive the Spirit. We should walk in the Spirit. We should produce the fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because you're spiritual beings. God made you. You are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. We are spiritual beings. You're just like an egg, but you're not an egghead. They that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Verse 40. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, of a truth, this is a prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? There's the doubters. There's the ones who, even though Jesus is speaking, they're not going to receive what he says. And you know, there are people, sometimes when God moves, people don't want to move with him. But you know what? When you throw a rock in the river, it's not going to stop the water. The water's just going to go around it. Amen? Don't be a rock in the river. Enjoy the river. Amen? Don't be a disruptor of God's flow. Flow with him. Amen? All right, let's go to Acts 2. Hallelujah. You talk about an encounter with God. 120 people were gathered in an upper room. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost, you know, there was an appointed time, there was a day that God set aside that the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out on all flesh. It was this day. They were all with one accord in one place. Listen, are we in one place? Are we in one accord? Not talking about a Honda, but talking about unity of faith, in agreement of God's cause. Are we in one accord? God moves where there's agreement. God moves where there's unity. Why do you think he said one of the greatest, one powerful prayer is a prayer of agreement? When two agree on earth as touching anything, that thing shall be done for them. That's powerful. These were the people who heard about the promise and decided to show up and wait for it. Sometimes we want God to do a drive-through. And in that drive-through, you want God to do everything that needs to be done. Sometimes you got to wait for God. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen? So while you're listening, you're waiting. But I want you to be expecting. I want you to expect God to move today. Amen? And suddenly, listen, there are times when God suddenly appears on the scene, when his glory suddenly, all they knew was there was a promise. All they knew was they wanted to get the promise of the Father. They didn't know what that promise was. How many, you know, they were just showing up for church not knowing what was going to happen, but they knew something was going to happen. Amen? Did you come knowing something was going to happen today? Little did you know that when you got out of bed and you decided to come to VCF today, that God had something for you. You know what? You can have so many good encounters with God that you can become a Jesus junkie. It's okay to be a Jesus junkie, to be hooked on Jesus, to be addicted to Jesus, to live your life that you're so in love with Jesus. We need some people who have a radical love for Jesus. You can see when I went through the evangelist group, God said, I'm going to travel for a short time, then I'll be a pastor, but that evangelist still wants to kick in every once in a while. Suddenly there came a sound from where? The sound didn't generate from the earth. It generated from heaven. heaven invaded earth, you might say. And it sounded like a rushing, mighty wind. If you ever heard the beginnings of a tornado, when it sounds like a freight train. And it filled the house where they were what? Say, God's about to fill this house. And he'll do it suddenly. He can interrupt my preaching anytime, amen? Like he did with Cornelius. Cornelius just showed up at, or Peter showed up at Cornelius' house, and while he was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell. They had an encounter with God. You can have an encounter as a group. You can have an encounter individually. Filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon a few of them. It didn't say a few of them. Each of them. Why? Because God is interested in the multitude. Amen? Listen, you're here today. You don't have to miss out on God's encounter. You can get in on this encounter. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. That's languages. That's languages that they never studied, that they never learned, that they couldn't speak. But supernaturally, the Holy Ghost, when they were filled, they spoke in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. In other words, who did the speaking? The people. But who gave them the words? The people did the speaking, but the Holy Spirit gave them the words. Notice, I want you to notice, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak. So that "and began" is referring to they who were filled. So listen, when the Holy Ghost moves on you, be ready to open your mouth and speak. What do I say? Don't worry about what to say. It's not a test. It's a release of God's power. Amen? Listen. When you fill your cup with water, do you just look at it or do you drink it? The whole reason for being filled is to be emptied out. So your release valve of your emptying is your speaking. Okay? So when you're filled with, they were all filled. Say, they were all filled. Say, they began to speak. Say, the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this was interesting because there were other people from out of every nation under heaven that were at Jerusalem at this time. Isn't it interesting how God works? He decides to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, and the result is that they speak in tongues, and it just so happens that they're speaking languages that people know, but they didn't know. And what they were speaking was they were magnifying God. And these other people heard them magnify God. And they all thought they were drunk. Sometimes when a person gets filled with the Holy Ghost, it might look like that they're drunk. But Peter said, these are not drunk as you suppose. He said, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. I want you to know that God spoke this into existence long before it ever occurred. And as a result, Peter, who denied Christ, don't tell me that an encounter with God will change a person. Peter, who denied Christ, got up on the day of Pentecost and preached the message. And 3,000 people were born again that day. You talk about a change. He went from denying Christ and hiding in fear from the elders to preaching on the day of Pentecost because he had a divine encounter with God that changed his life forever. Amen. He let God touch him. He let God forgive him. Some of you need to let God forgive you. Some of you need to forgive yourselves. Stop trying to bring up the past. That junk drawer's been locked shut by the blood of Jesus. You can't do anything about the past. You can only do something about the present. This word, when the Holy Ghost appeared to them, it's with wide open eyes as something remarkable. How many know that we have a remarkable God? And this same group who had an encounter with God in Acts 2 had another encounter with God in Acts 4. And in Acts 4, God filled the place, but he shook the house. In Acts 2, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Fire appeared above their heads, and they were filled. But in Acts 4, he shook the house, and the result was they spoke the word of God boldly. There was a transformation. See, two of them have been put in jail because they were preaching the resurrection. You know, can you imagine being in the county prison and saying, what are you in for? Well, I'm talking about the resurrection of Jesus. And they came back to testify to their group. And when they testified, they began to pray. They said, devil, you are not going to intimidate us. You are not going to keep this message from getting out. And they prayed. And when they prayed, the place was shaken. This was a little different than the first encounter that they had, but it was the same group of people. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God boldly. Matthew 5:38 says, the pure in heart shall see God. Do you have a pure heart? If not, receive Jesus Christ and his forgiveness, and your heart will be pure, just like that. Some of you have been going a certain direction in your life. And I'm here to tell you today, it's the wrong direction. Because you're trying to do it on your own without God, and it's not going to work. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. You need to surrender your life and come God's way. Amen? When you name yourself a Christian, that holds certain responsibilities. When you call yourself a Christian, that means you are Christ's. That means you do what Christ wants you to do. You go where Christ wants you to go. And, you know, what a better place to come than the church. Amen? To fellowship with other believers, to love on one another, you know? And there is sometimes a corporate anointing can do different than an individual anointing. Amen? On the day of Pentecost, they were all in one accord, and God did an amazing thing. You know, when Peter, James, and John were with Jesus one day, he took them up to a mountain. And right before their eyes, this Jesus, this flesh and blood man who was before them, all of a sudden he was transfigured and transformed into how he was before he came to this earth. And they got to see him in his glory, in his splendor, in his majesty, in his magnificence. And Peter was so taken back by the encounter, he said, God, we need to set up tents here. We need to set up tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, who also appeared with Jesus. Peter, James, and John got to see Jesus and Moses and Elijah. They had a glimpse of heaven. But you know what? The Lord wouldn't let him camp on his encounter. Some people want to camp on the past encounters that they've had. They want to set up camp on what happened in the past. But let me tell you, you're going to have more encounters in life. You're going to have more encounters with God. So you don't want to set up camp on any encounter. You want to go from glory to glory. You can't set up a tent on past experiences that you had with God. Yeah, way back 20 years ago, when that happened, listen, God wants to do a new thing today. Today's a new day, amen? There are new mercies today. God wants to do something new in this very moment. He wants to do something new in your life. God's a creator. Give him the freedom to do something new. You don't always have to have hands laid on you to receive healing. People were healed many ways. Why? Because every situation, the Holy Spirit showed him what to do. You know what? People who never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're going to have an encounter with God when Jesus returns again. And the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue. There, at that moment when Jesus returns, everyone who rejected him is going to confess him as Lord. But it's going to be too late. The time to accept Jesus is now. The time to live for Jesus is now. Not tomorrow, not next week. It is right now. Living for Jesus starts in this moment. And it continues on until he comes again. Does living for Jesus mean you'll never have any problems? No. But it means that you have a presence to get you through every problem that you face. It means that you have the strength of an overcomer. When challenges come up in your life, you can overcome. God will turn you into a mountain climber if he has to. You can either climb the mountain or you can speak to it, whatever God wants. You know, people who encountered the Lord, they were compelled to tell others of the good news. In the resurrection, in Matthew 28, when the angel appeared to the women who were at the tomb, they said, Jesus is not here, he's alive. Go and tell. Did they have to think about it? Did they have to pray about it? They just had a divine encounter. And with that divine encounter, they were compelled to tell others of Jesus. They brought the message to the men. Can you say amen? See, when you have an encounter with God, it's going to change. It's going to turn your fear into faith. It's going to drive your doubt out. It'll cause joy to be full. Whoo! When you're walking with full joy, you know, when a person is full of joy, the devil's attacks bounce off of them like a rubber ball on a wall. I can remember a time we were in a service, and like my friends and I, we would often go out for coffee, because at that time you could buy a cup of coffee for 99 cents and you could drink a pot. Because where we lived, there were three truck stops open 24 hours a day, and we would go to church and then we'd hang out at the truck stops. And there was a time, and we got to talking about the Lord and about what he did in this service, and we got to laughing. And this one guy laughed so hard that he slid out of his seat under the table. Now, the manager of the restaurant didn't like that because it kind of freaked out the other people there. But we were having a good time. Amen? When you're full of joy, there's such a release. There's no burden that can stick to you. But we got to be full of joy. The woman at the well. Jesus said it was necessary for him to go to Samaria because God the Father knew that there was a person there that needed an encounter with the Savior. And he went there, and he saw this woman by the well. She was just doing what she normally did, getting water. And he sat down and he asked her for a drink. He started off with a normal conversation. But then he took the water that she was using and he said, you know, if you really knew who it was who was talking to you, you would ask of him and he would give you living water. Now this woman had a rough life. She needed some living water because everything she tried to do was dead. Everything she tried to do ended up at a dead end. Her life was a dead end. She needed an encounter with God. She needed an experience with God. And she was face to face with the Savior. She was in communication with the mighty Savior. And she perceived that he was a prophet. And she said, give me this living water. And he revealed himself as the Messiah to her. She was so changed that she went back to town and she told everybody who she had influence over, mostly the men. Because she had five husbands and the one she's living with now is not her husband. See, her encounter with the Lord took away all fear of talking to people. And she went and told, and half the town came out to hear Jesus. How about the encounter that the shepherds had when heaven opened up and they heard the angels singing? They got to see heaven's choir. And the shepherds were rocking, man. They were like, woo, come on now. singing hallelujah. They were rocking with the angels that were singing in heaven over the birth of Jesus. And the angels appeared to them. They had an encounter with God. And what did they do? Did they keep it silent? No, they went and spread the word. They were the first evangelists. See, when you have an encounter with Jesus, you're going to want to tell someone else about it. You're not going to want to keep it to yourself. You can't keep it to yourself because even if you tried, you're different. You're changed. People are going to look at you funny like, what are you on? I'm on JC and HG. Is that a multivitamin? Oh, yes, it's good for the body. Families were changed when they encountered the presence of God. Abraham and Sarah, Zechariah and Elizabeth, Samson's parents. They saw the Almighty Lord appear to them, told them that they were going to have a son, that he was going to be a deliverer, never to cut his hair, never give him strong drink. You tell me that their family was changed? God can change families. God wants to encounter, he wants his presence to flow through your home. Your home needs to be a sanctuary that welcomes the presence of God. How about Isaiah? When he was thinking about King Uzziah who died, he had a vision. He saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train fills his temple. And he was there in the presence of God. He wasn't dreaming. It wasn't a daydream. He was there in a vision. But you know what? His encounter with God showed that something negative was in his life. See, you got to be willing to change when God comes into your life. Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Whatever was wrong with Isaiah's speech, it became apparent in the presence of God. With an encounter with God, he realized that something was wrong in him. Did he complain about it? No, he just acknowledged it. But what did God do? He sent an angel to take a coal off the altar and to put it to his lips. And the moment the fire of God touched his lips, what happened? His lips were cleansed. See, one encounter with God, you may think that you're filthy, you may think that you're no good, but one encounter with God will change all that. You can be washed in the presence of God and made clean in God's presence. One encounter can change the course of your life. And God, we want to have an encounter like that today, right now, in this service. Moses had an encounter with God. What was he doing? He was watching sheep. You could be anywhere, any place, any time, and God knows how to get a hold of you. But since you're here, God's got your undivided attention. Amen? What was Moses doing? He was watching sheep. He was running a sheep zoo on the backside of the desert. What does he see? He sees a bush. The bush is on fire, but it's not burning. Now, this was strange to Moses. This got Moses' attention. Some people, God has to go to great lengths just to get your attention. Come on. Some people have hard-headed syndrome. And God's got to go to great lengths just to speak to you. And Moses says, I'm going to go check out this bush. God knows how to get your attention. So he goes and he comes to the bush and there's a voice that says, take off your shoes, this is holy ground. Ooh. See, when you have an encounter with God, you're in the presence of his holiness. And if you're in the presence of his holiness, you can't help but change. Something's going to give. I'll tell you that right now. It's not going to be God. You're going to react. When you encounter God, there's going to be a reaction. It's no different than you getting a hold of electricity. How many know when you get a hold of electricity without anything else, there's going to be a reaction, right? You're going to have an instant bad hair day. You might turn shades of different color. You might pass out. That's why some people, when the power of God comes on them, they fall down. So God's listening to Moses. He was about to change the course of his life from leading sheep to delivering people. God wanted Moses not to be a pizza delivery boy, but to be Israel's delivery boy. God, because Israel ordered deliverance. How did they order deliverance? They cried out to God. They cried out to God for 400 years. Finally, God said, it's time to send a deliverer. And he gave a man named Moses an encounter with God. And God says, I want you to go deliver my people. And Moses said, well, I can't speak. Don't worry, I've made man's mouth. Well, I'm not eloquent. I'll give you your brother Aaron. Who am I? Who should I say that sent me? Moses had excuse after excuse after excuse as to why he couldn't do what God said. And God answered every excuse. If God answered Moses' excuses, he answers yours too. Why can't you do more for God? You can do more for God. You just got to make a decision to do more for God. What's keeping you from more? Are you too busy? You got things in this world that are taking up too much of your time? It's hard to have an encounter with God like that. Listen, God's got to be first. He can't be second. He's got to be first in your finances. He's got to be first in your time. He's got to be first in everything. When you don't have that order, things will be out of order. When something else is where God should be, then things are out of order. And they'll always be out of order until you get it right. Finally, Moses ran out of excuses. And God was getting angry. Finally, Moses said, okay, I'm going to go. And how many know, because he was doing deliverance the right way, do you realize that he appeared before Pharaoh at least 10 times and Pharaoh couldn't do anything about it? Pharaoh couldn't stop him. Pharaoh couldn't arrest him. Pharaoh couldn't keep him from doing what God wanted him to do. See, when you yield to God's presence with an encounter with God, you'll be unstoppable. Can you say amen? Let me give you just a couple more. How was Mary Magdalene? Before she met Jesus, 7 devils were running her life. She was possessed with 7 devils. What do you think her life was like? Would you have enjoyed being around Mary Magdalene in that state? But she had an encounter with Jesus. And what happened? When she encountered Jesus, he cast every one of those devils out of her. Who was one of the ladies at the tomb? It was Mary Magdalene. Her life had been so changed when she encountered God that she dedicated the rest of her life to follow him. She dedicated the rest of her life to serve him. Because that encounter with God so changed her life, so touched her heart. She wasn't following devils anymore. She wasn't being bombarded with devilish thoughts anymore. She was serving God. She was helping Jesus. She was helping her Savior. She was there from beginning, from that moment on to the end. And how many know that I guarantee you that some of those devils probably knocked back on her door, but she let Jesus answer. Can you say amen? Oh, Jesus, it's for you. You better get the door. Jesus got the door, and the devil says, I'm out of here. Hallelujah. 2 more. What about the Apostle Paul? He was going around murdering Christians. If he found out that you were a believer in Christ, he could come to your house. He could arrest you. He could have you thrown into prison, and he could have you killed. Matter of fact, he watched many Christians die because he held the coats of the people who stoned Stephen, who was the first martyr of the church. But you know what? Paul's first encounter with God was when he heard Stephen. While Stephen was being stoned, he said, Father, lay not this charge to their account. Stephen forgave his abusers. Guess what? Paul heard those words. And one day when Paul got letters to go to Damascus, him and his entourage were going to Damascus because, oh, he said, oh, there's some Christians in Damascus that we're going to get a hold of them. We're going to mess them up. And the guys were like, yeah. You know, Paul might have been the leader of a biker gang. Think about it. A bad biker gang. There are good biker gangs, by the way. But while Paul was traveling to Damascus, what happened? A light shone round about him. People around him, they saw the light, they heard the voice, but they didn't see anything else. And Paul, this light surrounds him. He's in the presence of Almighty God. He has an encounter with Jesus. And he says, Lord, what will you have me do? God had a plan for Paul. And God gave Paul 3 days to decide whether or not he wanted to follow God's plan. He made him blind. And they had to lead him back to the house. And then there was another man who had an encounter with God. His name was Ananias. And Ananias, in his time of prayer, God began to speak to Ananias. He said, Ananias, he said, yes, Lord, I want you to go here. And I want you to go lay your hands on Paul. And Ananias said, well, wait a minute, Lord, isn't he the one who persecuted Christians? But you know what? Ananias knew God. Ananias had an encounter with God. So you know what? In his encounter with God, he became willing. He became willing to do what God wanted him to do, no matter how hard or how tough. You know, Paul had a reputation. No Christian wanted to go to Paul. But it took a man who had an encounter with God to go. And what did he do? He walked in and he said, Brother Saul. He laid his hands on Paul. The scales fell off of Paul's eyes. Paul got filled with the Holy Ghost, and Paul was baptized in water. Guess what? God used Ananias, who had an encounter with God, to jumpstart Paul's ministry. You don't hear much about him afterwards, but you know, Ananias has got fruit in heaven on everything that Paul did. Just like the person who led Billy Graham to the Lord has got fruit on everything that he did. Amen? Today, we need an encounter with God. We need a divine manifestation of His presence and of His goodness. And we need to surrender to His will. We need to let God have His way, not our way. And finally, little greedy Zacchaeus. He worked for the IRS. He would charge you more than what you owed, and he would pocket the difference. He would pay the tribute to Rome, but he would pocket the difference. Zacchaeus became a rich man through lying and cheating and stealing. Now, don't think that all IRS agents are like that. But in this case, he was. Until one day when Jesus was walking down the road, and Zacchaeus was willing to climb a tree. You know, some people aren't willing to do anything to have an encounter with God. They're there saying, go ahead, God, make my day. And God will say, your day is made. Have a good one. You know, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And there was Zacchaeus. He was about to have an encounter with the Lord. What would this encounter with the Lord do? It'd give him a generous heart in place of his greediness and covetousness. He climbed up that tree, and he was waiting for Jesus. He ran ahead, and he saw Jesus coming, and he was all excited. He didn't know why he was excited, but he was up in that tree. He was looking, and Jesus walks by and says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. See, because Zacchaeus took time to seek God out. And Jesus went and had lunch with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was forever changed because of his encounter with God. He said, if I've wronged anybody, I will pay them back 4 times. It's quite a different scenario than before. Amen? I would like the worship team to come up if you can. And we're going to sing "Let Freedom Reign in This Place." Okay? And we're going to do just that. You've heard enough about experiences of other people, but how about having one of your own? Amen? I believe God wants to touch you today. I believe God wants to minister to you today. God wants to make things right that aren't right. Listen, you know what's right and what's not right. Just listen to your conscience. You know if you're all out for God or if you're an occasional Christian. And while we sing "Freedom Reigns," I'm going to make two requests. The first request is if you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you need the power of the Holy Ghost operating in your life. You need it. It's a free gift. You can have it if you believe and you receive. And when the Holy Ghost comes in you, he will empower you to speak. You'll speak in tongues. That's the most normal result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? So if you're here and you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, today is your day. You're not going to go away empty. God's going to fill you till you overflow. Hallelujah. Then, the next thing is, if you just want a touch from God, if you want God's power to touch you, amen? You just want God to touch you. You need an encounter with God. You're willing to change. You're willing to go a different route. You're willing to do something differently. You're willing to change your life. Oh, yes, if you want a touch from God, it requires a commitment. We're not here to promote false pretenders who come, they do this, they cry, they do everything, they roll around on the floor, but there's no change. If there's no change, you're just pretending. I want the real and the genuine. I want to encounter the power of God on a personal way. God wants to do that for you. So you know who you are. The Lord's been speaking to you the whole time I've been talking. God's been drawing you. There's been a little voice saying, you need to go up, you need to go up, you need to go up. Today's your day. Amen? Amen. Let's sing that. Hallelujah. I want you to begin to worship the Lord. Forget about what's around you. Forget about what time it is. We're here to have an encounter with Almighty God. We're here to have the eternal come in the now, the invisible become visible. God wants to meet with you today.
Spirit of the Holy,
hallelujah, Lord.
There is freedom.
That God breaks the bondage in your life and sets you truly free.
Lift your eyes to Jesus.
If you need the Holy Ghost, come and get it. Come and get Him.
If
you need a touch from God, come and get Him. Holy Ghost, over here. Touch from God, over here.
There is freedom.
They laid hands on them and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Father, fill him right now with the power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, says the Lord. I will turn your life, I will turn your testimony into greatness. But receive my power right now in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
You're hungry for the Holy Spirit?